Lou and Matt for breakfast. The Borders 105.7 Triple M.
Welcome to the Catch Up Podcast for a Monday. And Lou, I just want to talk briefly about something that you brought up in relation to what was happening over the weekend. It was the Vitasaur Nailcan Hill run day on Sunday.
Yep.
And so I was hanging out with all the fit people doing the run. You were at Clack Clack. But it was interesting what you were saying about wanting to be, you know, you've got the mindset of someone who's competitive enough to be an elite athlete. But just what that, just that little thing you're missing, Lou. Remember we talked about that? I just want to touch on that again.
Yeah, that little thing I'm missing, it would be the physique for an athlete. Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest drawback that I'm facing. Why?
Well, I was talking to, so Victoria Mitchell, who won the women's.
Yeah.
She was, she won't mind me saying this, actually it sounds ruder than I mean it to be. She's like a whippet.
Yes. Well, distance runners are lean and fit.
Yeah, yeah. I reckon she'd weigh about 50 kilos.
Ringing wet.
Yeah. She's just bone and muscle, sinew.
Yeah. And that's it, Matt. I don't have any of that going on. Never have had, never will have.
So, but you've got the mindset, though.
Oh, that's, so competitive. I think it's kind of mean that I was born so competitive, like in so many aspects of my life. But just not the right build for
but
it.
You've got
sadly
God-given other talents, though. You know, you've been bestowed other gifts.
Oh yeah, I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
You know, like, what do you mean? Extremely good looking. Is that what you were getting at, Matt? Thank you. Appreciate
anyway, I caught up with the winners of Nailcan, and we'll kick off with that. Here it is. Breakfast yesterday was the famous Vitasaur Nailcan Hill run back, Lou, after missing out on it last year, of course. 11.3 kilometres. What adjective or adjectives would you use to describe the course, Lou?
Bloody difficult.
That's fair enough.
Is that all right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Or really steep.
The overall winner this year was Albury local Patrick Stowe, first time winner. And I caught up with him after the race. Have a listen. Not very many people get under 38 minutes, right? For the full Nailcan. What'd you do it in?
37:45.
Oh, man, that's awesome. For your first time ever doing the run as well.
Yeah, correct. Yep. Yeah, it's awesome.
So you're one of only a handful of people to get under 38, which is absolutely sensational. How did you find it?
It was pretty tough. The first sort of couple of Ks, you take all the steep climbs in that. So running from by myself from the start was pretty difficult, but once you get to the top, you know it's all downhill, so you can push pretty hard.
Are you a professional in what you do?
No, not a professional at all. I'm just in my last year of uni studies at uni here in Thaguna. I'm doing physiotherapy. So outside of running, it's just working and going to uni, and that's about it, really.
Oh, it doesn't even look like you've had a hard run. What the hell?
No, it was very difficult.
You look fine. I've been doing any run, and I'm more puffed than you are right now. Mate, an awesome job. Pat, you've done sensationally well to get under 38. You're in the upper echelon of runners who've ever done it. So congratulations. Well done, and I'm sure you're going to be a force in this race for many years to come, Pat.
Good on you, mate. Thank you very much.
How's that? First time run?
Under 38.
Under 38.
That's sensational.
In 37. That's fantastic. Of course, the record, Steve Monteghetti, is 34-something, but that will likely never be broken.
Do you know, I look at people like Patrick and I think, well, how come you were born with all of that athleticism and then there's me?
Yeah.
Do you ever think that? Like, all these blessed people that have incredible athletic prowess, and I'd love nothing better than to be an awesome athlete.
Well, I mean, put that into perspective. He just finished the 11.3-kilometre run in 37 minutes.
Yeah.
I talked to him about five minutes to 10 minutes max.
He wasn't even puffing.
He was fine. I was literally, I was perspiring and more puffing more than he was. I just walked to the car.
Just walked to try and get him.
Yeah.
Hang on, Pat, come over here. Hey,
did an awesome job. It was sensational. And the winner of the female category was Victoria Mitchell from Benalla, who won in 2018. Now, she also finished fourth overall, which is a sensational achievement.
A great effort, yeah.
And I caught up with her after the race. The most important thing before we get on to anything else, you have the record of 42:46 set in 2018. What did you get this year?
Well, this year I got 42.38.
Oh, your new record. Sensational. Well done.
Yeah, I can thank Alex, a 12-year-old boy, for that. I heard some people cheering at the end there, and so I had to put the jets on, and then I turn around at the end, and, yeah, it's this little kid. So, amazing race.
He's 12?
12, yeah.
Man, that's crazy. How was it this year?
Yeah, well, I was a bit more prepared mentally because I've done the course in 2018.
Yeah, now, for those that don't know about you and your previous athletic accomplishments, now, you are an Olympian.
Yeah, two-time Olympian, yep.
In what category?
In steeplechase, 3,000 metres steeplechase. So I've got a bit of strength in my legs, I guess. Yeah.
How does steeplechase compare to doing something like this?
Well, you've got to have some strength endurance, which helps up the hills, and, yeah, a bit of mental grit.
Well done, Victoria Mitchell, the new record holder at 42 minutes, 38 seconds, beating her previous record of 42.46. Congratulations. Well done. See you next year where you'll potentially, you'll beat that. You'll get low 30.
Big thanks to Vitasoy and the Rotary Club for the sponsorship. Amazing.
Now, I actually dudded her out of a spot. She finished third overall.
Right.
Yeah, because she got 42.38. Now, Alec Fransky, who you actually mentioned in the free running minute there, the 12-year-old, he got 42.42. He finished third in the men's.
Yes.
In the overall.
So he just came in behind Victoria.
Yeah, just behind. So Victoria got third overall. He got fourth, and he's 12 years of age. We've got to track him down and get him on.
I reckon.
Hopefully tomorrow, because that is an extraordinary achievement.
Pretty amazing.
12-year-old. Mm.
Sometimes in life, the gods smile upon you, my friends.
You got that right.
My gangling!
TV Talk with Steve Malk.
So, Malky, there's been a bit of talk about this first show we're going to talk about. People are talking about it. I've seen some of the ads for it on telly. See What You Made Me Do on SBS. Now, I've got to be honest, it looks really heavy and from that perspective has made me not want to watch it, but I kind of think I should.
Yeah, good morning, Matt Louie. It's a pretty full-on little three-part series. It starts this Wednesday night on SBS. And See What You Made Me Do is taking a look at, honestly, the epidemic that is domestic violence in Australia. And what's the impact, what do particularly women, I appreciate that it's not only, but particularly women are the victims in this situation, the stuff they have to go through to get out of those situations and those sorts of things. As an example, in the first episode, a woman comes to a group of retired policemen who now specialise in security, supporting women escaping violence, and they sweep your house and sweep your car and find all of the bugs and the hidden cameras and all of those sorts of things. Mm. And, mate, they find them everywhere in her house.
Get out!
It's amazing. It's amazing.
So you've seen all of them, have you?
The first two, and it doesn't shy away from it. Doesn't show you anything explicit, but you do hear some stories of women who are in some pretty dire situations that are getting out or have gotten out. They talk to counsellors. They talk to specialists that work in the area. So it's that kind of approach, but just acknowledging that our statistics around domestic violence, particularly in the home, are horrendous.
Yeah, well, I guess it's one of those things where, I mean, you know, you wouldn't watch it for entertainment, but you kind of, we all should know about it. And if this is the most comprehensive look at the issue, then we all really should watch each of the episodes.
Yeah, I'm pitching it as the most important TV you'll watch this year. There may be some hard going for some people because given our stats, lots of people are touched by it or have friends touched by domestic violence.
Exactly.
And certainly the ones that we see in this are, look, I'd love to say extreme cases, but the stuff that the experts tell us on the show are de rigueur, are normal fare.
Crazy.
All right. What time can we see it, Steve?
It's Wednesday night, 8:30 on SBS for the next 3 weeks. It starts this Wednesday night. And, of course, we'll be on SBS On Demand.
All right. Now let's turn our attention to tomorrow because tomorrow is Steve Malk, may the 4th be with you, my friend.
That's right. It's so good. And, oh, man, I am just pumped for this. Every year Disney do something special for Star Wars Day, particularly now that they own it. And this year is no different. We're getting a special animated series kicking off on May the 4th. It's called The Bad Batch. And we'll get an episode on Tuesday and then every Friday thereafter for the next few weeks. It is about a group of clone troopers who aren't quite exact clones. So it's in that Clone Wars era, and one specializes in strategy, one specializes in, you know, sniping, one's a weapons expert, one's just a muscly dude, that kind of thing. It's heaps of fun. They have popped up before, but this is an entire series focused on them. Star Wars The Bad Batch, I cannot wait. I love Star Wars.
Excellent. May the 4th. And yes. We forget about it. We usually forget about it every year until we're in the middle of the show and we go, damn it!
It's May the 4th.
But thanks to you, Steve Malk, we've got a head start on it. So we'll do something special tomorrow, Lou. Get your Leia hair done, Lou.
Yeah, I'll do Princess Leia buns on the side of my head. Yeah.
I love it so much, I named my son after a character in Star Wars.
Jabba.
No, Jar Jar Binks.
Little Jabba?
Jar Jar.
No, he was born on Star Wars Day, so what do you think I called him?
Luke.
Yeah.
Oh, that's gold.
That's awesome.
Steve Malk, thanks, mate. Happy May the 4th tomorrow. We'll catch you again next week.
And happy birthday to Luke.
This is the May.
Let's learn that. It's Triple M.
Lou and Max, Wheel of Games.
It's game number 17 on this day. In 1933, the first photo was published of Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster, was first sighted. That famous grainy old photo that was a hoax. It's been proven to be a hoax. And, you know, various people cite good old Nessie, though, over the years.
But a whole tourism industry based on the Loch Ness Monster in Scotland has burgeoned from that.
Now, we might not have anything quite as large as Nessie at Lake Hume. Although sometimes I've seen some.
We did.
I know, I've seen some, but then you look and it's a dead tree. 133353, what's the largest living animal in Lake Hume that actually lives there?
Dan from Wodonga, how are you this morning?
Yeah, very good. Guys, how are you?
Yeah, great, thank you.
All right, Dan, so I'm pretty sure I've got the stats right. What do you reckon the largest thing that lives in Lake Hume is?
Oh, it'd have to be the big mighty Murray Cod, wouldn't it? The big 2 metre.
Yes, you have absolutely nailed it. Yes.
Now, I honestly initially thought that the European carp are bigger, but they're not.
Well, have a listen to this, and you know this now. They can get well over 1 metre in length, and the largest on record was 6 feet, 1.8 metres, and about 113 kilograms. But that's a pretty big one. I don't think many people are pulling those out of Lake Hume, though, Dan.
No, that's pretty huge.
That is huge.
Are you a fisherman?
Yeah, I grew up in Yarrawonga, so I've done a lot of fishing over there.
All right, what's the biggest Murray cod you've ever caught?
I'd like to lie and say a metre, but probably about 80 centimetres.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah, that's a decent size, though. That's a big fish. Do you throw them back or do you eat them?
No, I don't really like the taste of them. I'd eat a yellow belly, but, yeah, not really a cod.
Oh, there you go. That's interesting. That's
it. You've nailed it. 100%. You've got tickets to Boom Crash Opera at Beer Deluxe. Well done.
That's great. I actually went and seen them 31 years ago now at the Tennis Centre in Melbourne. When they were backup band to 1927, and they were actually the best on the night. I was 16 at the time.
Sensational. Yeah, you'll be able to relive your youth on Friday night at Beer Deluxe.
Catch up with the boys. All right, thanks very much for that, guys.
We're live and local weekday mornings on the Borders 105.7 Triple M, and we just happened to be talking about Murray Cod earlier on in the show. And unbeknownst to both of us, there was this massive fishing competition over the weekend, and we were talking about the size of the bloody things. They're the biggest fish that you'll find in our waters, biggest animal living in our waters, essentially around here. Now, Steve Galvin organised the Boats and More Native Classic, and he joins us. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
So, Steve, this is an elite fishing competition, and it's just lures, is that right?
Yeah, just lure casting only. No trolling was permitted in the comp this weekend.
Right, okay. So the big news is, what was the largest fish that was caught? I'm guessing it was a Murray cod. What size was the bugger?
1 metre and 16 centimetres.
Wow,
16 centimetres.
That's a big fish. And how much would that have weighed?
It would have been probably 15, 20 kilos.
That's a solid fish.
That's a decent sized fish, isn't it?
That is it. But what's the largest Murray cod that you've ever caught around here, Steve?
Me personally, it was a metre 25.
A metre 25. That's a big
fish. And where did you catch that, Steve?
Lake Mulwala.
Yeah, right.
Right. Is the fishing in Lake Mulwala better than the fishing in Lake Hume?
The cod fishing is definitely.
Interesting. All right. What do you mainly catch at Lake Hume?
Redfin and golden perch. Lake Hume's been fishing really well for redfin this year.
Right.
And I hear they're absolutely delicious.
Yeah, they are very tasty.
And what about I'm a little bit ignorant about fishing, Lou. I've only caught one fish in my life, Steve. It was a whiting years back when I was a kid. And it was very exciting and then traumatising at the
Isn't
end.
Isn't it funny? I used to go fishing with my dad every Sunday for a number of years when I was a little tacker. Never, ever caught a fish
Get
with
out.
My dad. Never.
Oh.
Caught an old boot once, true story. And it was the best fight I ever had on the end of a rod. It was pretty amazing.
So you won't have been winning anything over the weekend.
I'm a terrible fisher person, but I still love it.
What about in the Murray itself? What are you likely to catch, Steve?
The Murray cod.
Yeah, right. So the cod's the graphic. Now, was it successful over the weekend? Was it a good turnout?
Yeah, we had 48 teams fishing the weekend, and it was very successful. So
wow.
The winner got $25,000, so I was very happy.
Jeez, that's huge.
That's pretty amazing.
And that was for the 113-centimetre fish, was it?
116.
The winning team was the team that got the biggest bag limit. So it was the biggest combination of your biggest 5 Murray cod and your biggest 5 golden perch over the weekend.
Wow,
so
interesting.
People won prizes for the biggest cod each day and the biggest golden perch each day, but the... The winning for the 3-day event was actually the one who had the biggest bag of consisting of five and 5 golden perch.
Do you cook them up or do you let them go?
No, it's all catch and release. So we all the fish were caught. They were measured on the supplied brag mat. They had a photo with a catch token in, and they entered them into Teams Fishing Australia app, and then they're fine.
All right, Steve, the Boatsmore Native Classic. It sounds like it was absolutely sensational and what a fish to catch. Well done, mate. Thanks for that.
No problems at all.
Maybe I should take up fishing.
Well, I don't think you've got the patience for it, mate.
Oh, you're right.
I'll be honest. You do have to sit there
for hours
sometimes.
Okay, yes. No, you've got me there. Checkmate.
Speaking of local, we headed up to Kalak Caravan Park on the weekend. We're a work gathering of Michael's workmates.
Yes.
And I've never been there before, so it's just not far from Corryong. Absolutely sensational. Just a really nice park for a start. But what a glorious part of the world. I know we always say that when we go there. Like, we were at the Man from Snowy River Festival a few weeks ago. Just beautiful. The trees, like, everyone talks about going to Bright to see the leaves. Of course, fair enough, because there's some gorgeous trees. But the same up at Kalak in the park and all around, just the trees changing colour at this time of year. Wasn't too cold, which was a bonus because it can get pretty freezing up there.
It can.
Just lovely. And then on, so we spent the night there, and then we just hung out in the caravan park, like a bit like grey nomads, I imagine, Matt. Just sitting around having chats,
glimpse
basically.
Into your future, potentially.
Yep. Sitting in the sun on your camping chairs, just yakking away.
Worse places you could do that.
Oh my gosh,
that much.
It was so nice. And then we drove into Corryong for breakfast and had a fantastic breakfast at, what was it called? The Black Sheep. Really nice. So, if you have never been there, can I highly recommend it? Because they've got cabins, which is perfect for non-campers like Michael and I. You can go and stay in a little cabin up there and just enjoy the serenity. It was beautiful. You've got to do it, Matt. You'd love it.
Yeah, I do it. Well, I reckon Narrial Valley is the most beautiful part
glorious,
of our
isn't it?
Which is just up the road from there.
Yeah.
And my partner's granddad lives into the valley. Yeah, and it's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. God's country, Lou. Whenever we drive down there, don't we? We just look out the window
do.
And we just go, this is
do you know,
God's country.
And it's so amazing, too. We were thinking as we were driving, it's not quite 18 months since fire just ravaged that part of the world. And man, nature's amazing because the regeneration there. I mean, you can tell because obviously the tree trunks are charred and that sort of thing. But, you know, it just looks like there's just new growth everywhere and there were heaps of beautiful cows and obviously a lot of stock were lost. So just so nice to see everything coming back. Got to get out there. It's just beautiful.